Mind quickly moving through the book of Revelation, and we are taking a bird's eye view. We want to get the big picture. We kind of talked about that last week, remember, that a lot of people want to get down into the minutiae of it, and they think they're being super spiritual because they're trying to identify, you know, the characters listed in the book of Revelation, and they're missing the big picture of how they should be living their Christian lives. And so we're taking that big, broad perspective. In Revelation chapter 16, things in the book of Revelation are coming to a head, because the book of Revelation is really about, it's called the end times. It's really a future look as to how this sin-cursed world is going to end. Now, for us Christians, we don't have to worry about that. In fact, we've seen interspersed throughout the book of Revelation, even tonight, even when these judgments are being proclaimed and when they're being carried out, there is still mention in there hope for the believers and the righteousness of God and the righteous judgment of God. So it is not, the book of Revelation is not all doom and gloom. And in fact, you're going to see tonight that the wrath of God is justified. To do anything else than what God does during the tribulation period would be a miscarriage of justice. No, he is not being too harsh. He is not being too rash. We can trust God that he does all things well. Now, in chapter 16, in chapter 15, we had kind of the introduction to these last judgments that God is going to pour out upon the earth. And these are the last and the final judgments, and they have been incrementally getting more harsh, and you're going to see that tonight. But you're also going to see something else that, to me, is just mind-boggling, and it's how defiant the human heart can be. It is amazing to me how hard the human heart can be. And that's really what we're going to focus on tonight as far as the big picture is concerned. We're going to look at the hardness of men's hearts. Because here, as God is pouring out his wrath, and people know that it is the wrath of God, and the pain that they are experiencing is God's judgment, they still refuse to repent. For me, and probably for you, that is just almost mind-boggling. You would think you would get to that point and you would see, well, there obviously is a God, and his word is obviously true, because we're seeing the book of Revelation being lived out before our lives, and I could be saved by turning to God, but I don't. It just tells you just how defiant and hard a man's heart can be. And that's hard for us to understand. But what we're also going to see is this. Saved people can have hard hearts. Lost people can have hard hearts. But saved people can have hard hearts. In fact, it's possible that there could be somebody in this room, and I certainly don't have anybody in mind, but it's possible that somebody in this room right now could have a hard heart. They're saved, but their heart is hard. Or it may be that somebody you know, a relative, that says they're saved, but they have a hard heart. Again, it's amazing to me how defiant an individual can be. Let's start off by looking at a quote that discusses this exact topic that I'm talking about, this subject. This gentleman says, "The wishful thinking of some that men would repent if they only knew the power and righteous judgment of God is shattered by frequent mention in this chapter of the hardness of the human heart in the face of the most stringent and evident divine discipline." This gentleman is saying, we want to believe that if somebody comes face to face with God and his judgment, and given the opportunity to repent, in our minds, well, sure, that's a no-brainer. Somebody come face to face with the judgment of God and the reality of God, and they have the opportunity to repent, well, sure, they're going to repent. this gentleman is commenting on this passage we're about to read, that our thoughts about that are shattered by what we read in Revelation chapter 16. Whether you're unsaved or whether you're saved, folks, you don't ever want to have a hard heart. In Revelation chapter 16, let's begin reading in verse number 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter. Again, this is a bird's eye view. But you're going to get the flavor of the whole chapter in just reading verses 1 through 9. That's what we're going to read tonight. So we begin in verse number 1. Now, here are the final, most dreadful plagues of God being poured out in his final judgment on this sin-cursed earth. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials or the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth.' And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. So upon those people come these dreadful sores." Verse number 3. "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man." In other words, the oceans turned to blood. "And every living soul died in the sea." Can you imagine the stench of all those animals, those dead sea creatures floating on the surface of the ocean? "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of the waters." This is the fresh water. "And they became blood." Now, folks, there's nothing to drink at this point in time in tribulation, as horrifying as it may sound, as dreadful as it may sound. There's nothing else to drink other than blood. This is God's wrath. This is God's judgment. You don't mess with God. You don't take him lightly. Yes, he is love. But remember the counterbalance. He is just as well. He is love and he is justice. Verse number 5. "And I heard the angel of the waters say..." Now here it is. Here's the perspective. Because we're reading that and we're thinking, that's an awful thing for people to go through. But now, again, there's these nuggets of light. There's these aspects of perspective that's thrown in at just the right time. Because after introducing these first terrible judgments, it says, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink." And listen at this. "For they are worthy." The judgment is not too severe. I mean, it's for God to say. I mean, he is God. It's for him to say what is too severe, what isn't severe enough. It's not for us to say. We're a mere mortal. We're created beings. We don't know enough to pass judgment on something like this, but God does. And it's mentioned that he is righteous and that he is judging righteously. "They have shed the blood of saints and prophets." You don't get away with that. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." We're not to execute vengeance, but he can, because he rightly can do it in the right way for the right reasons, and he does it perfectly. Then verse number 7. "And I heard another out of the altar say, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments.'" True and righteous. They're righteous judgments. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire." And then we come to verse number 9, which I find intriguing and just mystifying. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. The judgment is coming from God. We know from Scripture that there are going to be people saved during the tribulation. They are attributing the power of these plagues to God. And yet it says they repented not to give him glory. I think the first little tinge of pain, I'm wanting to make things right with God. You know, hey, I don't like pain. I'm not a fan of pain at all, whether it's a tooth being pulled or an earache or whatever. And these people are going through unimaginable pain, and they blaspheme God. They curse God. It's amazing how hard people's hearts can be. And you would think with affliction or chastisement that people would just respond properly. Here's a simple quote. Affliction, if it does not melt, hardens the sinner. Affliction or chastisement is intended to bring someone back into the fold, but sometimes some people would just grow all the more defiant. I can't think of too many things more unsettling or disturbing than that. Many of the commentators that I was reading concerning this passage, and particularly that verse where it talks about the fact that they repented not to give God the glory, they describe that as having a hard heart, a hardened heart. Scripture has a lot to say about a hard heart. What is a hard heart? In spiritual terms, a hard heart describes a person who is callous and insensitive to God. That's what we're talking about tonight. The people in Revelation chapter 16, as described in verse number 9, I think it could be accurately said of them, they have a hard heart. The Bible talks about this. You go all the way back to Exodus. You know, Moses, let my people go, goes before Pharaoh. In Exodus 7, verse number 14, Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. I mean, Moses went in there and pronounced all sorts of plagues. It was very obvious that Moses had a connection with God. There's no question about that. And yet, Pharaoh became defiant to the very end. Oh yeah, he let him go, but then he changed his mind and he went and he died being defiant to God when the Red Sea, you know, and closed on them. That's a lost man. That demonstrated very clearly that he had a hard heart. But Christians, if we're not careful, we can develop a hard heart. Mark 8:17, and when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? There's a situation where they were needing food, and the apostles and the disciples are complaining, and the Lord is questioning their faith, and he raises the issue, has your heart yet hardened? You know, why isn't your heart soft? Why isn't it pliable? Why isn't it trusting? Why don't we see faith there? So we see in these two examples that both lost people and saved people can be described as having hard hearts. Now, as we've traveled through Revelation, I've tried to take what we learned there and make it applicable today. You took the time to come to church tonight. You'll get home, busy day tomorrow. What can we learn about this? It's important to know that in the future, in the tribulation period that Revelation describes, it's important for us to know that in spite of God's wrath, there will still be defiant people to the very end that will spend eternity in hell as a result of their defiance. But there's a lesson for us today when we think about hard hearts. And I want to talk about this just briefly this afternoon. How to recognize if you have a hard heart, but also what to do about it. And one of the best ways to determine whether or not you have a hard heart, to a great degree, not the only way, but one of the best ways, is how you relate to other people. How you're relating to other people will, to a great degree, tell you whether your heart has hardened. I guess you could insert the word backslidden. Maybe it's synonymous, hard heart, developing a hard heart, a believer developing a hard heart, a believer becoming backslidden. Probably two ways of describing the same condition. We're just referring to it as a hard heart tonight. But first of all, how do you recognize that? How do you know if you or someone you care about has a hard heart? And again, I think to a great degree, you can tell that by how you interact with people and how you relate to people. For example, a husband that is ugly towards his wife, just mean towards his wife, I think it's pretty right to assume if he claims to be a Christian, he's definitely backslidden or a hard heart or both. How do you know that? How do you know he's got a hard heart? How do you know he's backslidden? Well, look at the way he's treating his wife. A teenager that's sneaking around, lying to his parents, saying, I'm going over to, you know, Susie's house, and ends up over at Sally's house, and mom didn't want her over at Sally's house, but she's doing that, and then she lies about it. You know, that doesn't indicate a person that's growing in grace. It indicates a backslidden condition or a hard heart. So, for some people with a hard heart, they might be living in denial. I think this Sunday afternoon I'm going to be preaching on self-awareness. You know, there's a lot of people that lack self-awareness, and we're going to look at that in Scripture. We're not going to look at it from a psychobabble perspective. We're going to look at it from a scriptural perspective. But that's why the Bible says, even when you take the Lord's Supper, doesn't it say examine yourself? And doesn't it also say that some people have a higher opinion of themselves than they should? You've got self-awareness problems, okay? And when you start dealing with a hard heart, I guarantee you there's a lot of people that have hard hearts, they're backslidden, and to a degree it's a self-awareness issue. So let me share with you tonight, real quick, three ways to identify the fact that you may have a hard heart, I don't know, maybe tonight. Three of them. Number one. You don't feel like talking to anyone. You don't feel like talking to anyone. One surefire way to find out that you have a hard heart is that you just can't bring yourself to talk about anything, especially anything of substance, and especially anything spiritual. You just don't want to go there. When somebody brings up something sensitive to you, somebody brings up something that is spiritual to you, you shut that conversation down. Let me tell you, that's a surefire symptom of a backslidden / hard heart condition that you don't want to have. When you don't feel like talking to anyone. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go there. We've already covered that. That is not a position you want to be in. But there is a solution. You say, okay, if you have the capacity of self-awareness tonight, if you're in this room and you say, I can't deny it, that's me. My wife's been wanting to talk to me about something and it's spiritual. I don't want to go there. Or my husband wants to talk to me about something spiritual. I don't want to go there. Or my parents have wanted to talk to me about something. I just turn them off, you know, nah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's you. But the good news is if you can own up to that, you can change it. The solution, one word. Vulnerability. Put it out there. Be vulnerable. James chapter 5, verse number 16, that's exactly what it is telling us to do. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth not much. the antidote for not wanting to talk to anybody, because when you don't want to talk to people, I don't want to talk to the pastor. I don't want to talk to Brother Jamie. I don't want to talk to my parents. I don't want to talk. If that's not a sign of a hard heart, I don't know what is. But again, the key is just being vulnerable. Opening up. Letting people know what's going on in you and with you, and letting people know your struggles, no matter how uncomfortable it might make you feel, it is essential. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. So, could you have a hard heart tonight? Well, if you don't like talking to people, and especially if you don't like talking to certain people about certain subjects, especially when it's spiritual, chances are you're dealing with a hard heart. But the good news is you can be vulnerable and address that and change that. It's no time to be filled with pride. Somebody that you can trust, somebody that loves you, somebody that has some spiritual maturity, that's the kind of person you need to grab hold of and say, I need to talk to you. And then you share with them whatever it is that you're struggling with. So number one, you don't feel like talking to anyone. That's a sign that you're dealing with a hard heart. Number two, and this is somewhat related, but everyone's advice seems bad to you. I hope that's not describing anybody in this room. But if it does, then chances are you're suffering from a hard heart because everyone's advice seems bad to you. Have you ever had multiple people suggest to you the same thing, and yet you have convinced yourself that all of them are wrong? They all got a bad idea. You know, the pastor told me that, my wife told me that. I talked to my brother who's a good Christian in Arizona, and he told me that. But no, I just don't see it that way. You know, it's incredibly common for people to ignore wisdom and help. If you're here tonight and you're one of those, and lately you've been thinking to yourself, I don't need their advice. I don't need their counsel. And they're good Christian people. Chances are you're dealing with a hard heart. So what's the answer here? The first one was vulnerability. This one is related. It's humility. You can become humble. There are people that were once filled with pride that are very humble now, and their life is the much better for it. You don't have to stay proud when you are proud. Humility. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another. You know, you don't have to be top dog. You don't have to be king of the mountain. You don't have to worry about your ego. Don't worry about your pride. And be clothed with humility. For God, this is where you've been having problems, resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You can avoid the scenario of thinking everybody's out to get you and everybody's advice is bad if you will just swallow your pride and listen and be humble. Welcome people's opinions. Keep your mouth quiet and let them talk. The people that are filled with pride, they're always doing the talking. You can't get a word in edgewise. And the reason they're doing all the talking is because nobody knows. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. And I'm not going to follow your advice anyway. In 1 Peter 5:5, it talks about submitting. Be subject to one another. Be clothed with humility. Because you're just asking for trouble, because God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if you're here this evening and numerous people have been trying to tell you something, but you haven't wanted to listen to their advice, chances are you're dealing with a hard heart. And lastly, number three, You're dealing with a hard heart when you're unable to love anyone, especially committed Christians. And that usually happens when sin gets in our lives. Because sin, think about this, not only will hurt our fellowship with God. I mean, when we're sinning, we don't want to be in church. When you're living, and that's why a lot of people will come and visit this church one time, because, you know, we'll preach against sin, and they're into it, and they want to keep it, so they won't come back. But not only does sin hurt your fellowship with God, sin hurts your fellowship with people. And makes you incapable of loving people and people loving you, even the people that are most important to you. If you find yourself in a position where it seems like all I do is seem to make everybody unhappy, even though you have your best intentions, it's probably because you have a hard heart. That's the reason you're making everybody around you unhappy. Because there's sin in your life. Sin that sometimes a person will defend. A person will excuse. So, if you're in a position right now where you're unable to love, and you make it hard for people to love you, especially committed Christians, then chances are you got a hard heart. There's an answer for that one as well. The good news is there's an answer for all of these. And the answer for that one is just honesty. Being honest. 1 John 1:5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." Man, we could have just preached on those verses tonight, those three verses. Let me read that again. Because sin in our lives not only affect our relationship with God, it reflects our relationship with others, and it could make us where we're unable to love the people we ought to love because there's sin in our life, and we just think they're judging us, when in fact they're loving us. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." I mean, it's an unhappy situation when a wife finds out her husband has been sinning on her, and vice versa. It's an unhappy situation when teenagers are caught in whatever sin teenagers might be committing these days. And it's that sin that comes between us and makes, it shakes the foundation of love. We ought to be loving one another, but we become incapable of love when we're walking in darkness. We love darkness more than light, and that creates a problem for the people that are walking in the light. When we walk in the light, we will have fellowship one with one another. So, it's amazing that those people in Revelation 16, knowing that this is the wrath of God, are defiant and unrepentant. And the reason for it is they have an extremely hard heart. We saw in the Old Testament that lost people can have hard hearts, Pharaoh. But we saw in the New Testament that disciples can have hard hearts as well. Which means we in this room can develop hard hearts. Now, if you took this as a test tonight, these three points, then you have a pretty good indication right now as to whether your heart is hard or not. But you also got tonight Bible verses that show you how to handle that. You can repent. Your heart might be as hard as stone right now, and you've just been playing us here at church. I don't know. And again, do I have anybody in mind? None whatsoever. But this is one of, if the shoe fits, you know, and only the Holy Spirit, he'll apply the shoe and he'll see if it fits or not. But if the shoe fits, then the good news is tonight, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hard hearts, thankfully, can be turned back soft. And the key that we looked at tonight anyway is vulnerability, humility, and honesty. Start practicing those three virtues. And that old outer shell that's creating problems between you and God and you and others, that outer shell start cracking up. It'll start melting away. And you can get back to a right fellowship with God and a right fellowship with your spouse, right fellowship with your children, family, and friends. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.